You could spend the weekend doing the same old whatever, or you could conquer the weekend in the all-new Hyundai Santa Fe. Visit HyundaiUSA.com for more details. Hyundai, there's joy in every journey.
Welcome into the Illini Inquirer podcast. Jeremy Werner and Joey Wagner with the post-game reaction to a big victory for Illinois basketball on the road without their star Io Dosunmu for a second straight game. No Io, no problem. Illinois gets its second straight win without its star guard, picking up a top 25 road win, 74-69 at Wisconsin. Sure, Joey, the Illini had a season-high 20 turnovers. Dimitri Trice did his best Reggie Miller impression, scoring 19 points in the last 2-12. That sounds wrong, but that's what he did. He had five threes, made a little iffy at the end, but Illinois, of all teams, one of the worst free throw shooting teams in the country, really, makes 10 straight free throws to end the game. Andre Curbelo with four of them, Trent Frazier with four of them, Jacob Grandison with the two final ones to finally close that game out. But Illinois, now 18-6, 14-4 in the Big Ten. Joey, this is what they call a program win. There's plenty of ugly in here, but I don't know why people would focus on that when you just got out of Kohl Center, where you hadn't won eight straight games. For a second straight year, you get out of Kohl Center with a win. And this is monstrous, not only for the short term and what's ahead here, but also, I think, the long term for Brad Underwood's program.
I think this says so much about who they are and what Brad has wanted them to be since the second he walked into that job. That was a tough win. And when you zoom out a little bit and look at the week, the buildup to that game, right? You go to Michigan State, it's physical. It's a tough loss, your first loss in seven games. And Io Dosunmu gets hurt. And that's this cloud hanging over this team basically all day Wednesday, basically all day Thursday. Then you have to say goodbye, kind of, you know, maybe an early goodbye to Trent Frazier, DeMonte Williams, and Io. Yeah. And Zach Griffith and Bobby Geek as a manager. And Brad doesn't like, and he likes senior days, but they're hard for him to deal with because he really attaches. So you put all of those in, and then you go to Wisconsin, a really tough place to win against an old team. And that's been the narrative all year, right? Old teams win. You go against an old team without your All-American, maybe your National Player of the Year, and you sneak out a win in your third game in 5 days. I mean, that is that toughness and that, you know, foot on the gas, keep this thing moving, don't stop until there's no more games to play. But that is what Brad has drilled into this team since he walked in here. And then to see that happen is kind of just, I think Brad was really, not emotional, but he was really, really happy with that, and he should have been.
Yeah, Joey, and the thing about this is I want to get into what this means for the NCAA tournament, what this means for the Big Ten tournament. But to have Andre Curbelo step up, I know he had six turnovers and some careless ones, but 17 points and iced that game at the free throw line. He had a clutch bucket when they were up 9, right, or 11, but it was a clutch bucket, and he dictated the game offensively for a while. You have another star in Kofi Coburn, who I don't know if he'll be back for a junior year like Io, but if he did, you're going to be a top 15 team again, right, because he's an unstoppable force. And then DeMonte Williams has really stepped up the last two games. He's been more assertive, but they just weren't scared, right? And I know Trice went off late in that game, but I think that was more just Trice going off. I mean, there are a couple plays maybe late in the game that don't really give up defensively, but his last three threes were ridiculously contested. And this is why I've liked Illinois all year is, listen, offensively, they made shots, but they were just so bad turnover-wise. Yet they play defense, and they're one of the top defenses in the country. They're top 15 coming into this game in defensive efficiency, and they just weren't scared, and they're tough. And that's what Brad Underwood has been going for so long. And for me, not only going into March, where, yes, you can get Curbelo some confidence, where he's starting to play like we saw early in the season, where that guy with Dosunmu, with Kofi, and then you had Trent and some of these other pieces. Adam Miller, I thought, had a solid game today. You had another playmaker like that can help you win an NCAA tournament game, but also just for the long term, like that's what you expect now, is you can be without your star player and win at a over 500 Big Ten team. That to me just says, okay, this program for the long term is in really good shape.
A quick note about Andre Curbelo. If people are going to live and die with every turnover he has, it's going to be a very long 4 years on their heart rate. You just have to kind of let him be who he is. He's going to get older. Some of those are going to get cleaned up. Some of them are bad. And there have been games, Jeremy, this year where you're like, they got to get him to a bench. They got to let him recalibrate. That today was, I didn't really feel like, was that game, even with the six turnovers. But to your larger point, this is, I mean, I remember talking to you about it before the Nebraska game. I said, you know, assuming, you know, whenever Io comes back, this could kind of work in Illinois' favor, in the sense that you have Adam Miller attacking the rim, you have Andre Curbelo. Brad has no choice but to let him play through these minutes right now and through some of maybe either discomfort or learning experiences. And that, you never want to lose Io to Sumer for a second, right? But if you're going to have to, there is maybe a somewhere far distant silver lining here, and that is that these two are starting to get going. And defensively, let's be honest, I think maybe Wisconsin helped them out a little bit. There were some shots that probably should have fallen. But Brad Underwood has also talked about scouting reports. And I think if I had to guess at this point, Nate Reavers is don't close out very hard on the scouting report. And that's good for some of these guys to not fall into this, oh, it's Reavers, we got to close out really hard and leave everybody else scrambling. I don't know that that was the report, but I have to guess that that is somewhere buried in there. And Brad talked about this in his post-game press conference. There isn't a lot of time this week to really hammer these things out on the practice floor. It's film. It's run through it as quick as you can, but also recognize that these guys are tired and you want to balance all of that. But ever since Brad made the move to this kind of defensive philosophy and got away from the burn it all down and hope we're the last thing standing, this is what we've seen. And this is probably what Brad, you know, was hoping for at the beginning of last season when he started to pivot into this role.
Yeah, pretty good defensive performances. I know Wisconsin did not make shots, but they also had a lot of contested shots. I thought in the early going, their first five or six shots were all really contested shots. And I thought that continued through most of the game. Like Illinois was closing out on them, or if it was guys putting up, like Potter's a pretty good shooter, but 2 for 8 isn't a ridiculously bad game for him. And you, like you said, Reavers, they got to make them. But Reavers is shooting 17% all year from three, so that's not too big of a surprise. Let's talk about the short term of what this means, Joey. You get back-to-back wins in the Big Ten without Io DeSumo. Now you're 14-4, and you got obviously upcoming games against Michigan and Ohio State, and we don't know if Io DeSumo will be back. We know there's a broken nose in there, right? Like that's been the reports. And if there is concussion protocol here, that game would seem to be in doubt. But I thought it was encouraging that Io DeSumo went to the game. He was on College Game Day. So I think that's a very positive that Io DeSumo will be back. It's just a matter of when. And that game against Ohio State, now, even if you lose to Michigan and you don't have Io, or even if you have Io and you lose, that game could be a play-in game for the NCAA tournament one seed. You have put yourself in that position where you are still battling for a number one seed despite not having Io DeSumo the next two games. And I think, Joey, it's going to be really hard to knock this team off a two seed line now. You just got another quad one victory. You got two games against top five opponents. You're not going to be punished for that. Like maybe you fall a line or a spot, like one spot, somebody leaps you and you're not able to get past Ohio State for the one seed. I think a three is the lowest they'll get now. And I think that'd be the first three seed, but I think a two seed is very, very likely for this team for whatever that's worth. I mean, it's going to be matchups, but also you have a two-game lead against Ohio State for whatever it's worth in the Big Ten. And if you beat Ohio State, you're going to finish second in the Big Ten, which I think says a lot given how Michigan is playing right now. But it does set up a game in Michigan that will mean a lot. And if you're able to get that game for however you do it, or you get the one to Ohio State, I think Illinois is a one seed. And I think you've mentioned it, a double bye looks. I don't know if it's guaranteed, but I think it's all but guaranteed at this point in the Big Ten tournament.
I think it's pretty close. And remember, I think it took, you know, maybe it took into this last week last year in what should have been the Big Ten tournament. They had it, but somebody had asked me.
It took the last second, dude. It took the last second of that Iowa game.
It took Kofi Coburn's right hand. It did. And somebody asked me after, they said, did this lock up a 2 seed? And I thought, I don't really know that I have an argument against it. Honestly, I mean, especially if they go to, if Iowa doesn't play the next two, and I don't know if that will or won't happen, but how much can you knock a team for losing to Michigan and Ohio State without Iowa DeSumo? But yeah, number one seed is very, very much on the table here. And even if it is a 2 seed, we're splitting hairs. Illinois basketball hasn't been in the tournament forever. Obviously, they would have been in last year. And then they come back with at least a number 2 seed. That is, holy crap. Obviously, you probably want the 1 seed and you don't want to be anywhere near the other 3 1-seeds who are playing out of their mind basketball and probably are all at a plane of their own in the college basketball landscape here. But a 2 seed is not bad. Like, that is a really good thing. So that
there's only there's 4 teams that can say it and only 8 teams that can say, like, hey, we have the same. That's unbelievable. Like, yes. Even in the history of this program, they have had a 1 or a 2 seed 4 times since this tournament started getting seeded. Sometimes I feel like we need to remind the context of all of this, of how special the season is. And in the Illini stats, I think it's Brett Moore that runs that, put out a great stat, which is most Big Ten wins in consecutive seasons for Illinois. It was 28 in 2004-05. That's the most. Number two is 27 in 2020 and 21. Now, we have to say, right, like, there are more Big Ten games now. So win percentage, I'd like to see the win percentage of that, but it's probably top five, right? There's probably top five win percentage of the Illini basketball history. That's ridiculous. It's absolutely ridiculous, at least the modern era, right? Like, it's like the Andy Bernard thing. I don't want Illini fans to be like, do you know I wish you knew the good old days when you were living in the good old days, right? And these are the good old days. For some people, these will be the good old days of Iyo Desumu and Kofi Coburn. And remember that time they went to Wisconsin and won without Iyo, and then he came back with a face mask and we made a run in the NCAA tournament.
Yeah, you're exactly right. And you don't take for granted, just because you're in that moment, this is such a big moment for this program, for what Brad wants this program to be in the long term. It's so much that I completely lost my train of thought. But before the Michigan State game, the talk was Big Ten tournament, Big Ten champion, national champion. And then probably, given how Michigan is playing and what it would take for Michigan to be knocked off of its perch, they more or less were taken out of the Big Ten race on Tuesday night at Michigan State. Yeah. So for them, and of course their best player was hurt. So for them to keep, I know when you had Mike LaTulip on, Jeremy, he talked a lot about the human nature, the human instinct part of this that I think gets lost a lot. And for them to not decelerate after one of their goals was almost effectively deemed not reachable anymore, that says a lot about who these guys are, because especially being 18 to 22-year-old kids, to be able to see beyond that extra pass, I guess, if you will, that is a telling thing about what Brad has instilled in them, what he is looking for when he found them as recruits. That's a really big deal to me, to keep this going, even when it's been really, really hard and one of your goals is really, really, really hard to get to.
Yeah, see, we start with a micro of a game with some of these podcasts, and then we go macro at the end. But this is just such a macro win for me, and for Illinois. But in my opinion, just looking at it, I think you have to. I always talk about Karp. Right? Karp's always the macro guy when it comes to everything. Every game means everything. Well, sometimes the micro gets lost. I think this is just such a big picture victory for Illinois basketball that has short-term implications in it too. And Brad Underwood said he's proud, and he should be pumped. This is a tough week. Right. Just everything they've gone through, how many games we've done, how many podcasts we've done, Joey, because there's been so much happening this week. And to come out of it with 2 wins and go into next week with still some pretty big goals still in play and potentially Iyo Desumo coming back. this is a moment for them to be really proud of. No matter if Wisconsin gave you a scare, no matter if it was sloppy, even if you got a little help from Wisconsin, you take this one, man. I would have thought coming into this game, if Illinois has a chance to win this at the end, you feel pretty good, right? Like, Wisconsin's not great, I know that, but Illinois, without its best player, what would we think? If Io DeSumo wasn't here this year, Illinois, I think, probably makes the tournament. I think they're a tournament team, but I think they're kind of like in that Maryland picture, right? Like, probably around there. I mean, maybe a little bit better because Kofi's so good, but I think they're Purdue-ish, right? This team, they beat a team like that on the road in these circumstances. I think that's really encouraging.
You know, we talk about Io, and to benchmark where this program was when he got here versus where it was now, Io didn't have this moment as a freshman. There was no, we gutted through it and figured out a way to win this really, really challenging. They won big games. I thought the game at Ohio State they won when he was a freshman was really big in, you know, setting the stage of what this team could be.
Michigan State was a big
Michigan
win for
State
them,
was big. And that's the point is, now these guys who are freshmen have had these hardened moments because of it, like, you're starting to see the first instance of like the trickle down effect of getting this culture up and having this running, and then guys learning, and then when it's their time to be Io DeSumo, to be, and that's a pretty lofty thing to say, but to be the alpha, the star on this team, now they've been there. And that is what Brad's talked about a lot, but this is really the first time I can remember stepping back and saying, oh, I see it now. I see exactly what 4 years as a head coach does in terms of setting what you want to set and having guys who set that, Damonte Williams, Trent Frazier, Io DeSumo, to the Kofi Coburns, to the Andre Curbelos, to the Adam Miller. It feels weird putting Kofi in the one, but he's only a sophomore, right? Yeah. And he is still kind of, I don't want to say learning, he's been around for a long time, it feels like, but he's still only a sophomore. So it's just kind of strange to look in the macro at it and see the bricks. Like, you can step back and see the wall here that they're building in the foundation.
Yeah, and obviously culture is a big thing. And coaches say it all the time. It's a buzzword, but it's there, right? But I thought a guy like Chester Frazier was great culture. You got to have the talent, too. And Curbelo certainly has that. We saw it last game with Miller, and I thought Miller had a pretty good game today. And then Kofi is just such a talent as well. When we come back, Joey, let's get into some of the micro of this game because there were some interesting performances and interesting moments. We'll talk about that next on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Introducing the Two-Way V4, where groundbreaking fuel cell technology meets fresh foam cushioning for the ultimate performance. With fuel cell, each step feels explosive, delivering unparalleled energy return. Paired with fresh foam, experience maximum comfort throughout the game. Its lightweight textile upper offers support and breathability without sacrificing agility. Whether you're hitting the clutch shot or locking down the opposition, the Two-Way V4 gives you the tools to play at a high level. Learn more and purchase the Two-Way for yourself at newbalance.com.
Selling a little or a lot? Shopify helps you do your thing, however you cha-ching. Shopify is the global commerce platform that helps you sell at every stage of your business. From the launch your online shop stage, to the first real-life store stage, all the way to the did we just hit a million orders stage. Shopify is here to help you grow. Whether you're selling scented soap or offering outdoor outfits, Shopify helps you sell everywhere. From their all-in-one e-commerce platform to their in-person POS system, wherever and whatever you're selling, Shopify has got you covered. Shopify helps you turn browsers into buyers with the internet's best converting checkout. 15% better on average compared to other leading commerce platforms. And sell more with less effort thanks to Shopify Magic, your AI-powered all-star. Shopify powers 10% of all e-commerce in the U.S. And Shopify is the global force behind Allbirds, Rothy's, and Brooklinen, and millions of other entrepreneurs of every size across 175 countries. Plus, Shopify's award-winning 24/7 help is there to support your success every step of the way. Because businesses that grow, grow with Shopify. Sign up for a $1 per month trial period at shopify.com/odyssey podcast, all lowercase. Go to shopify.com/odyssey podcast now to grow your business, no matter what stage you're in. shopify.com/odyssey podcast.
All right, I struggled midway through this game. I messaged Joey Wagner. I go, who do I put as the star of this game? And I ended up putting Kofi because you know, it kind of gets lost with that finish, but he had that dominant stretch in the second half where Wisconsin just couldn't move him. He's just an unstoppable force, and he took over. He was the best player on the court by far. Curbelo had some good moments, and I thought he ended it so well at the free throw line, and Frazier had some big moments. But we were considering at that point, I think Kofi had 11 at that point, and Damonte Williams had 10. And then Damonte Williams has that step back jumper. He was one of the few guys who didn't turn it over that much today. Helped out on the glass, had 4 assists as well. You're seeing like this Damonte Williams that like he's attacking more, right? He's looking for his shot more. And the last couple games, he's got more points than I think he had over the previous 10 or 9 or something like that. He stepped up in a big way. Had a bad moment with the technical. We weren't there. We don't know what was said between him and Alondo Tucker. What happened? It sounded like something was said to Curbelo. But still, I'll give him a pass because it didn't end up hurting him. He's got to cool his emotions in that moment. But that's a great performance for Damonte Williams. 12 points ties a Big Ten career high for him.
No, I thought the moment that really stuck out for me, obviously the three-pointer, the step back, the dish to Kofi, was, I mean, those were good plays. The one that stuck out to me, I thought Illinois really struggled on the boards. I mean, Wisconsin had quite a few offensive rebounds. I'd have to go back and look how many they had. And they had a missed shot, and they get an offensive rebound, and they miss again. And Damonte goes up for just a grown man rebound. I mean, it was almost his version of saying, I have seen enough of this. Like, I'm a senior. I know I can get this. And he put a stop to it. And I'll go back and look to see kind of what happened. I don't remember many more after that. Was like Damonte saying, thank you for coming, but that's done on this end.
I remember at one point, this is just in my head, Wisconsin, I think I tweeted it, had a 10-3 offensive rebound advantage. They ended with an 11-7. So, yeah, I mean, over the last several minutes, Illinois really clamped up on the defensive glass when Wisconsin missed a shot. Wisconsin made their last 7 shots, and right, Illinois made its last 5.
But I think Damonte, I mean, that to me, that I remember watching, thought this guy just, this was the end. And what he's done, and I'd probably have to go back and talk to some people, but he seems to have that ability to mold into exactly what a basketball team needs. Now, when he was at Peoria Manual, he was the alpha. Especially that sophomore or that junior year that they went to the Class 3A state tournament. But he also, and again, I'd have to check, but they had Ramon Douglas Watkins on that team, who is really good, and he's getting some Division I interest again after kind of a long journey there. But when Damonte needed to take over, Damonte took over, and he comes here, and the team needs something a little different out of him. And he turns into something a little bit different. And then this year, the team really needed a three-point shooter. So what does he do? He turns into a three-point shooter. And then you get to this stretch without Io DeSumo, and they need somebody to carry some of that load. And lo and behold, who is it? It's Damonte Williams. And he just seems to be that guy who can read very, very well what a team needs and how they need it and deliver those things. And that's probably one of the best compliments you can give a basketball player who isn't LeBron James, that skill levels to be able to do that. And he gets – you know, maybe at times it was in the first 3 years, it was perhaps a little maddening for fans who wanted more out of him. But if you step back, and I don't want to get back into the macro, but he does that, and he did that tonight.
It's amazing how he's changed his game, even in season, right? Like, he had that hot offensive start where he's the best three-point shooter in the country, and he still is, by the way. He's back to number one after hitting 4 of 6 the last 2 games. He's shooting 55.1% from three. This guy last year, Joey, 9 straight Big Ten games, didn't have a single point. A single point. He shot 26.8%. Like, barely took shots, right? Like, and now he's hitting a step back. Like, he's taking a step back to hit a jumper when this team needs him to. That's an amazing thing. It really is, like, how that's changed. And his last 2 games without Io, 20 points. 20 points over the last 2 games. He's hit, he didn't have 2 or 3 the last couple games, but he had 3 threes on 7 attempts. Makes a couple 2-pointers, which are rare for him as well. He's been very aggressive. He's been assist to turnover the last 2 games, 6-1, but he had 20 points over the previous 8 games. So, yeah, even in the short term, like, the way he's changed, it's huge. And they're going to need that. And maybe that, like, we're talking about Curbelo and Miller, the confidence they can gain. If Damonte Williams can get that early season 3-point confidence back, they get him shooting like this, where he makes two a game, Joey, this team really becomes dangerous because they're one of the best three-point shooting teams in the country. But if you have Miller, Frazier, and DeMonte outside of Io, Curbelo, and Kofi, this team gets really dangerous offensively.
And don't forget about Jacob Grandison, who, when he's set, he can really knock him down. And I think, you know, we're talking about all this offensively with DeMonte, and then just ho-hum on the other end. He is just a brute force defensively. And you talk about culture quick. The two of the best defenders on this team, Brad Underwood's two seniors. I mean, that tells you a lot about what this program is. But, yeah, I mean, if he is this consistent attacking DeMonte or shooting DeMonte, I remember we asked Brad after the Michigan State game, would you like to see him shoot more of those? Because even as recently as Tuesday, he seemed to hesitate a little bit, and it just changes so much. And I know we're digging here for a silver lining for this team without Io DeSumo, and really, for being honest with ourselves, very few silver linings exist when that guy's not playing basketball. But this is one of the very few that exists, along with the freshman.
Andre Curbelo is going to be an All-Big Ten player, man. Like you mentioned,
next year.
Yeah, six turnovers today, five turnovers a game before. Again, I understand. Like that's not good enough. He's got to get better at that. But the things he does, no one else can do. There's just not many people in college basketball, let alone the Big Ten, that can do it. In the last couple games, what's this? How many rebounds? 19 rebounds. And you get him on the break doing that, 27 points. He can just probe a defense unlike anybody. So, yes, he needs to clean it up. But the positives usually outweigh the negatives when it comes to that. And defensively, he's getting better. Like, there's bad moments, but he's getting better. He's got active hands, and I think he's a long way away from it, Joey, but I can start to see, like, I think it's so good for him to have Trent Frazier, because Trent is an undersized guy who should not be a good defender, but Trent is so locked in on that side. I don't know if Curbelo will ever be that, but I think having Trent there shows Curbelo, like, I can be really good at this end as well.
You know, with Curbelo, there's not as many moments as we sit here on February 27th where I watch games. There are moments, but not as many where I think he is a defensive liability. On December 27th, December 17th, you're probably seeing that a lot more. He has come quite a bit, come a long way, I guess, in those 2 months throughout the course of the season, which is probably, that's a good line is to Trent Frazier and that path, and hey, this is what it takes to win at this level is being locked in over here. But I thought the three-pointer was encouraging tonight. He's starting to get that little turnaround, you know, close shot at the rim. That's if he does that, because there are a lot of times, Jeremy, I think we'd see him like drive to the rim and it's like, what's he going to do? And he dribbles baseline and it resets. It's like, dude, just go for it. You're going to get hit. And at the worst case, you're probably going to get a foul, or eventually you'll get that foul. But yeah, we know that Io's the guy in the NCAA tournament that is going to, like, people are going to fawn over when they see him all the time, and they should. Andre Curbelo is real, and Kofi, because he's so good and he's so much of a mammoth that there's going to be a lot of people who are going to really struggle to stop him. Like, they see him on tape and then they get him in person. It's like, oh no, like we don't know what to do here.
I think we saw that with Nate Reavers today. Like, I felt at one point bad for him. And Jan Dockich was the first person to ever call him tough, I think. But like, he had a couple tough possessions where he could have flopped and he didn't. And I was like, good for you, Nate Reavers. But he still got run over. Like he still got run over. And Brad Davison and kudos to Jason Benetti and Dan Dockich for saying, yeah, we were wrong. Like, that is a hook and hold, but it's because he's so big. Like, you're like, oh, see, Brad Davis is just trying. Like, what else is he supposed to do? But that's a hook and hold. Like, that's what Brad Underwood's
point.
Yes, that is what Brad Underwood is saying, is like, stop treating him different because he looks so big and you feel sorry for other people. Like, that is still a foul.
I hate to draw this comparison, and I might even text you after, hey, dude, cut that. But when he was hanging on to Kofi, it sound really, really bad, but it reminded me of like a child, you know, whose dad had something up here and he was hanging on his arm. Like,
I was just doing that with my kid the other day, an hour before this.
And I'm not trying to be little Brad Davison, but like, when I saw that, that's exactly what I thought. I was like, this guy is just so large, So yeah, he's going to get a lot better. Circle the long way back to Curbelo. You got to keep me on track with these things. But like, he's that guy. And like every time he's on TV, like an ESPN or Fox Sports One, they're like, holy crap, this guy. I think we're going to see a lot of that in the NCAA tournament. And I think the stretch is going to make him propel to that point in the confidence department. But yeah, he's been good. The turnovers, you live with it, man. You got to live with it because
he's number one in the Big Ten in assist rate, right? Like I think he's top five in the Big Ten in assists per game, which is, you know, a cumulative stat. And we know his minutes are low. Like that's what he does. And that's just going to, I mean, that's going to exponentially grow as he plays 30 minutes next year.
Well, I think you live with it in the sense of reading the game. Like today, six turnovers, not good. But I also thought there was just so much more that it's like, whatever. Like that, those suck, but whatever. But there have been games recently where there wasn't that other end of more. So Brad Underwood and his coaching staff have to make sure they're reading what he's doing that makes those a little more palatable. But as long as he's doing something on the other end and making those passes and getting to the rim and maybe even hitting a three or continuing to be serviceable on defense, hey, you just throw your arms up. Maybe Brad yells, maybe Brad stomps, but you just move forward because there's just not anyone else who does the things that he does.
Yeah, we got to shout out Jacob Grandison too. He was kind of quiet tonight, but 5 points, made a big three. In the second half, 8 rebounds, 2 assists. He did have a couple turnovers in the first half. He's a plus 17 in the plus minus. And I know he didn't start the game. Zach Griffith technically started it last time. But since he's moved into the starting lineup, is it now 9-1, Illinois?
Yeah. They were 7-0, lost one. And yeah.
He's just done. Like he's been a nice piece. Like that's still, that four position is still an issue when you go up against a team like Ohio State, right? Like he's not going to quite match that, but this is what they've needed. They've needed a guy who can be a threat to give you 5 to 10 points and give you 5 to 10 rebounds. And, you know, he's a great passer. He's not a very good defender, but like the energy on the glass is, and that length is what they've lacked. And he's just been a nice piece of the puzzle during the last month and a half.
Look, I think there are a lot of guys who can do what Alan Griffin did offensively or, you know, replace that portion of it. But what I thought when I coming into this year, remember, we hadn't seen Jacob Grandison, right? I mean, really at all. I mean, we didn't see practices. I thought, who's going to be that guy on the glass who gets a tip in, gets a tip out, who just makes people remember that somebody's going to crash those boards and is at least, at the very least, going to make life not very fun for you as you try to get one of those, what should be an easy offensive rebound or defensive rebound. Jacob Grandison has been that person. And then you factor in the fact that he can really distribute the ball. He can shoot. I think he's pretty good when he's set, you know, maybe not as consistent when he isn't set, but he's not afraid to drive and distribute. And he comes from the Princeton offense. It's not exactly anymore what Illinois does. Now they've gone into the more of the pick and roll offense. But there is something to be said for his ability, especially we saw early in the, you know, when they were winning in that 7-game win streak, he could break a zone by getting into the middle of the darn thing and passing it around, and kind of with his presence and of course more shooters, you know, hitting those shots, made it a little harder to zone Illinois defensively. And Jacob Grandison should get credit for that, for his ability to go in that spot and distribute the basketball.
All right, Joey, before we get out of here and let you and I write, and Derek's up at Kohl Center writing his piece as well, Illinois has a monumental task on Tuesday because barring a surprise, I just don't expect Iodesumu to play in that game. And Michigan is, like Jay Billis said this morning, that's my national championship pick. And I know some Illini fans might not like that, but I look up and down that roster and what they're putting together here. I think I'm going to have them like in the championship game because I just think they don't have weaknesses. And if they have one issue, like somebody else can step up. And we saw that today against Indiana, had some early issues with them, and then they just blew the doors off them. Kofi Coburn against Hunter Dickinson is going to be a lot of fun. But I just think it's a monumental task to slow down Isaiah Livers, Franz Wagner, Sean D. Brown, Mike Smith, Eli Brooks. I just think that's a much deeper team. Now, can Illinois be competitive? Yeah, and maybe they could have a chance if Michigan doesn't make shots like Wisconsin missed shots. But I just don't think that's going to be the case. So Michigan, I think, all but wraps it up on Tuesday. But I don't know. We'll see. You go to this game. You wish you would have had it when Iwajisumu was there. And that's the sad part. And that's where Illini fans understandably are going to be upset. And Brad Underwood has made it clear. I mean, it's been a little veiled, but he's made it clear. He thinks Michigan was – what's the word I should use? He used the word character a lot, of playing the schedule the Big Ten gives us. And I can understand Michigan wanting to ramp up its team a little bit more for health purposes, but they didn't do it with their women's team. They didn't do it with their other programs. And that made it look like they were gaming the schedule. And I understand like that. I didn't think that at first. I wanted to give them the benefit of the doubt. But once their women played, once these other sports played, it leaves a bad taste in your mouth and makes you think they were gaming the system a little bit. And I don't even think they needed it, Joe. I don't think they needed to do that. But they are a great team. I don't want to separate that from that is a great team that is fun to watch. And Juwan Howard has built a beast there that I think Illinois is going to struggle with on Tuesday.
Yeah, and I think Brad really held it or hit it a little better until, this week. And now, as they're in the middle of this tough stretch, he's not really being so hidden about it anymore when he talks about everything he's talked about with the schedule. And you're right, they probably didn't need to. I will say, if I were given Michigan's, really, let's call it an opportunity, because the Big Ten didn't do anything to stop them from doing that, yeah, I probably would have done the same thing. I think if you really gave a truth elixir to a lot of people.
If Nebraska, if that game was Nebraska, they would have played it.
Yeah. And I think if role reversed, you could put ex-head coach in that spot. And if the Big Ten isn't saying no, might be doing it too, right? I mean, if you give them a truth elixir and say, would you have done it? The answers would, maybe fall into that category. I don't know. And you don't want to – I'm not saying Brad would have done it because I don't know. But – if no one's going to – this falls on Kevin Warren. We went off a little bit about Kevin Warren when we saw each other 2 days ago here, but stop it. I mean, he's got to say, no, this is happening. I'm sorry. But, yeah, I mean, Brad's not hitting. I think I have to believe that's going to be brought up between now and Tuesday night when they get there. I would love Iwajisumu to play if he can aid it without risking anything for beyond Tuesday night for his own, personal – future in basketball here, because I want to see. Want to see what these two teams at full strength look like. And you're right, Michigan's probably got the edge right now. I think they're long. They do a lot of things that Illinois has struggled with teams that fit a lot of their profile. The difference is Illinois has somebody like Kofi who can make them rework some things.
But Michigan does too. Like Hunter Dickinson, correct, like is, Warren Tate asked me this morning on his radio show, like, is he a first teamer for you? And I said, coming into the week, no, he was second. Like, he was the first guy on my second team line. And now I think I'm putting him there. And Franz can make the case as well. I mean, he's played fantastic basketball. So is Isaiah Livers. It's just they have so many weapons. It is such a well-constructed roster. And I know I've said this before, but they lost John Teske and Xavier Simpson, and it feels like they improved on those guys. Like, that's amazing. And that's why I had them, they lost those guys, so I had them like fifth in my rankings. I thought I was higher on Michigan than some people, but they just improved on those guys. And it's pretty – I had huge doubts about Juwan Howard at this time last year, and now it's just like he's the guy everyone's chasing.
I'll tell you what, Jeremy, if I am any Big Ten head coach and I hear like an NBA vacancy, I am calling whoever. I'm like, hey, have you heard of this Juwan Howard guy? If you can get your hands on him, I am trying to lobby for this guy to get all the way out of the Big Ten if I'm an opposing coach, because what he is building there is going to be a really big problem for everybody else in the Big Ten. And you could say that fairly about a lot of teams, right? You could say that about Brad. You could say that about Chris Holtman. You can continue to say that about Iowa. I have some questions right now about Wisconsin long-term. But it
feels like Purdue's going to be back, right? Purdue to the top. I mean, they're top five right now, but like that, they're going to be one of the top teams in the conference next year. I think Michigan clearly will be. I think Ohio State will be. I think Illinois got a chance to be in that mix. But I think the programs are like questions are one Wisconsin, right? Like they lose all these guys that haven't been as good as we thought. Maybe they are really more what they are this year than last year because last year's schedule was so good. Michigan State will be back. I should mention that. Maryland's having a better year than maybe even I thought they would. I think Rutgers is a solid program. But like Indiana, Iowa, I think, slips a little bit, but like Wisconsin and Indiana are kind of the programs with huge questions for me. And that's, who does Penn State hire? Does Minnesota fire, you know, Patino finally? And does Northwestern just stick with Collins just because he made the tournament once, or what? There could be three or four vacancies in this conference.
There could. And there's probably more programs with questions than without questions, I guess. But the ones without questions really like are without questions, right? Like they are really good. And they're the reason the Big Ten is as good as it is, because they provide that really top heavy element to the league. And there's probably four or five teams that I don't think you'd even bat an eye at for the next few years. Michigan being one, Illinois being one, Ohio State being one.
I'm looking at KenPom right now. Sorry to interrupt you, Joey.
No.
Six of the top 15 teams are Big Ten teams. And that includes Wisconsin and Purdue, who like, we're like, yeah, they're okay. They're number 13 and 15. Right. And I think the Big Ten has 14 of the 17 strength of schedules, which is ridiculous. But then the player of the year, the KenPom player of the year, and it does not include Kofi Coburn. Okay. Six of the top 10 in KenPom's player of the year are Big Ten players.
You know, I haven't thought a lick about Purdue since, I mean, I realized like I wasn't going to have to see them in a game on the regular season. Like it just wasn't something that I'd done. We're caught up. But now you step back, like, yeah, maybe that's a team that someone's fawning over in the NCAA tournament because they've been through this and they've got good pieces. And it's like they're kind of this middle tier Big Ten team, but I can see them getting in the tournament and making someone's life a nightmare. And
that's young guards are playing really well for them, and they're beating teams they should. Like that's all they have to do. They beat Ohio State on the road, which is a huge win for them. But then they've beat Michigan State a couple times, which is looking better and better. But they beat Northwestern. They beat Nebraska. They beat Penn State a couple times. They beat Indiana. Like, they're beating the teams they should. They don't slip up.
And look out, right? I mean, it just feels like this conference has got somebody who, like, everybody knows the powers. They should. But there's just somebody that, like, as you're in it, you don't really think about it because they meddle in the middle of a really good conference. But it just – they scream a Cinderella, quote-unquote Cinderella. I don't think there's a Cinderella in this conference because I don't think that exists right now. But they just feel like that team that could just tick somebody off. They're not going to have a lot of friends in different fan bases, I think, next month.
Yeah. No, that's a team that next year could be top three, top four.
They got a star. Yeah. The Ivy kid's going to be a star.
Well, and Trevion Williams is unbelievable. And I think that's a guy who's a four-year player. He's got another year in him, too. So they could be really, really good. And Matt Painter doing what Matt Painter's done for two decades here. All right, Joey Wagner, again, I think sloppy, of course, but just I would feel so proud if I'm an Illini fan about my team to pull that victory off, whether they got a little help from Wisconsin or not. Like, they made plays to win that game. They had a great start to that game, found a way to close it when, let's be honest, previous years, you know, before these last 2 years, like, Illinois loses that game. So to me, To get these two without Io DeSumo says a lot about what's been built here.
Agreed. We talked all of this, and we just glossed over Kofi Coburn, by the way. We mentioned
unstoppable force. There's just nothing else we can add to it. It's just,
when he gets it to a certain spot, it's a foul or a layup. It's over, or dunk, I guess, more recently.
Well, and I hope – you're getting me going on another thing. I keep tweeting this because I feel like there are so many good players in the Big Ten. And because Io DeSumo is understandably the face of this team, like, he should be a Big Ten player. He should be an all Big Ten first team shoo-in for me. And I think he should be at least a third team All-American. But I feel like because Io's the face of this team, he gets overlooked. You know, and I feel like other people aren't going to be, they're going to put like Hunter Dickinson before Kofi Coburn. And not that Dickinson doesn't deserve it, but it's like, look at what Kofi's doing too. Like, Kofi's numbers per game are even better. And I think these last couple games where Kofi now has 43 points and 14 rebounds, like, that should only strengthen his case. And if he has good games against Michigan, Ohio State, like, I think he's the third guy on my list for all Big Ten first team. I know I'm closer to it. I know maybe I've got a little bit more bias, but I don't even think I'm biased when I'm saying that.
I don't either. I just think that he's proven that one person is nowhere near enough to cover him. And more times than not, two people are nowhere near enough to cover him. And really, I mean, he's starting to see three people. This guy is starting to see three people when he touches a basketball. That is bananas. That is it's unbelievable. That's insane. Three of them. It's like they don't even care. It's like, just stop it. That says everything I need to hear.
Well, and it's kind of a reminder that Ayo Dosunmu is the impetus, right? Like he is the guy who kickstarted this thing. But it's not one player. And these last two games have kind of, especially today, it's kind of a reminder of that. Like Kofi Coburn is one of the best players in Illinois basketball history. And then you got guys like Trent Frazier and Demonte Williams and Jacob Grandison and two young guys in Andre Curbelo and Adam Miller that make you a great team and make you a great program, not just one great player. So I think that's a good way of wrapping it up. Illinois beats Wisconsin 74-69. For Joey Wagner, I'm Jeremy Warner. Thank you for listening to the Illini Inquirer podcast. If you don't already, subscribe to us, rate us, review us. I'm going away to player grades. Derek and Joey, both with big-time reactions to what this game means and what this last week and two games has meant for Illinois as well. Check out the website, IlliniInquirer.com. Everybody have a great day. Take care of each other. We'll talk to you next time on the Illini Inquirer podcast.
Baseball has begun, which means you need to listen to Fantasy Baseball Today in 5, part of the CBS Sports Podcast Network. Join Scott White, Chris Towers, and me, Frank Sample, every Monday through Saturday as we deliver all of your fantasy baseball needs in just 5 minutes. We'll break down the biggest performers, news, and prospects who could make an impact this season. Make sure to download and follow on Apple Podcasts, Spotify, the Odyssey app, and everywhere else podcasts are found.